This morning is a topic that you see on the board I put on there, and you're all probably going, huh, I got to correct this guy. There's something wrong with that title. Let us make God in our image. Then, no, that's exactly how I meant to write that. And I hope to explain that a little bit as we get into our study here. But that is a little different than you all may understand that to be. And we're going to talk about that this morning. But it definitely catches your attention when you see that topic. But really what that comes down to is we look at a society and a world today that wants God to be like them. And that's where we're going to focus the crux of the lesson a little bit and how we fall into those traps too, possibly, as Christians. We can kind of be softened or steered towards that way of wanting a God like us. Now, that sounds great, doesn't it? That's kind of scary. I can tell you why here in a minute, at least on my part anyway, and we can look at that and have a God like us. I want to begin here and talk about some topics here. First of all, you know, the physical nature of things are we like to make images and deities and shapes and symbols and whatever you can think of to be a symbol of religion, a symbol of our faith, some physical object. That's been coming down since the beginning of man. We just like that as a society, as mankind, I should say. You know, God said this in Psalms 50 and 21. It says, "These things hast thou done, I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself." He says, "But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes." You know, what is God talking about? You know, he says the very thing we've got on topic here. You thought I was like you. You have a misunderstanding here. You didn't quite get the whole crux of what I'm telling you and what I expect out of you. And instead, you have this other idea that, oh, well, I'll apply my thoughts, my ways, my attributes to God. Therefore, he understands what I'm doing. Well, that's not always the case. You know, God is a very jealous God. He's a very specific God. He has things for us in his life he wants us to do, he commands us to do, and we should desire to do for him. You know, moving on, and you look at the physical things that we look at, and I want to look at the physical side of how we try to make God like us first. And you look at the physical attributes of God and things that man has done. In Romans chapter 1, there's so much that can be said, and we're going to keep it hopefully pointed here. It says in the 23rd verse of Romans 1, it says, "And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." That chapter goes on to say that, you know, they hated instruction. These were sins of omission, the many things. That's just one of the things they were doing. Sorry, I'm having trouble here. That was just one of the many things that was going on in Romans 1, as you all know. We won't go into the rest of it, but for time's sake, this in lesson point, this is where we're looking at. And it says in the 25th verse of that chapter, "For this and other reasons," it says, "God gave them up." God gave them up. So does God like us to try and create an image, a physical image of things of him? Well, apparently we know from the beginning of time, no. He hasn't given us instruction. He hasn't given us details. He hasn't given us a command or example to do such a thing. Well, there in Romans 1, that's exactly what they were doing. And they decided they understood God. They decided that God would accept this. They thought in their mind that this is the God that I've created in my mind, and he's going to like this. God did not like this. You know, it doesn't say they didn't believe in a God. It didn't believe in religion. They didn't have a faith. It says they didn't like to retain God in their heart in that chapter, if you read it. They didn't keep what God had said in their heart in that chapter. Oh, I believe in a God. I believe in a God. We hear that all day long, don't we? I believe in a God. Romans 1, and we talk about the other sins that are mentioned in here, and I've personally dealt with those individuals that the sexual immoral sins. They were talking about the sexual sins earlier in the chapter. I've dealt with those individuals personally. Say, I'm a very religious person. I'm as faithful and believer as you are. But how do you miss Romans 1? You missed the whole crux of that chapter. You just threw that out. But these people believe they have a God. They believe God's like them. God made them after all. He's going to accept them, and he's going to like it. That's kind of the attitude they got. Well, God made me this way. He's going to accept me this way. Well, that's the danger we come into when we try to make God in our image, isn't it? Well, God's going to accept me. I'm going to make that standard. I'm going to set that goal, and I'm going to say, you know what, God? I'm going to say you made me this way because I just can't control myself, and I want to dabble in sin, and you're going to accept it because I said you made me this way. Does that sound kind of hypocritical? It sounds scary. It puts a very challenge. It's almost a slap back in God's face. People make images and things of God, and they try to take a God and say, look, you're going to be like me. You're going to have my weaknesses. My attributes are going to be applied to you. And that's what happens when we try to take God and do something different with God than what God has commanded us or taught us through the Holy Scriptures and through Christ Jesus, is we try to attribute our weaknesses to him. That's the only thing we can do. We try to bring him down a notch. We try to bring him down to a level that we can meet instead of the level or the standard that God has set the bar at. Genesis chapter 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Doesn't say that, does it? Doesn't say it at all. Who's our? Well, we talk about the Holy Trinity here, the Godhead in Christ Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit. He says, let us make man in our image. Our Creator said, I'm going to make you in an image. And I want you to follow after my sayings. Now, the creation is going to tell the Creator how we're going to worship him or how we're going to look at him or how we're going to view him. That's exactly what man's doing. The creation is thumbing their nose at the Creator and saying, no, I'm going to slap you in the face instead. And I want to change the level. I want to change the standard. I want to change the bar. I want to change the physical image. And, you know, the physical side of God, we'll get to that in a second. I'm not one that would be for, we'll get to that. I'm jumping ahead. Let me just stop. I get too far ahead in my lesson here. My computer don't work that fast. Isn't that scary? But God created man in his own image. Now, whatever image of God that is, we can only imagine at this point. We haven't seen God. We don't know. But we know what image we have. We know what likeness we have that God gave us. We know how we are today, and that was given to us by God. God sets a standard. He always has. God has an expectation. He has an image that he gave us. He's given us a form. And the things of God, there's things he hasn't given us. There's things about God we don't know. There's things about Christ we don't know. There's things we know physically about him because he dwelt on this life, but there's very little we know about Christ and his appearance. We know very little about his looks. We try to make a God that fits us. Is that not a society we sound like we live in today? I hear it all day long. You probably hear it at work. I hear it from those who I've talked to that I told you that dabble in that Romans 1 area of the sexual sins, and they say, I'm as religious as you, but God will love me. God will love me. Are you telling God or are you asking? I don't know. But the bottom line is, either way, that's not right. They haven't submitted to the will of the Lord. They haven't humbled themselves before the Creator. Instead, they got this image of a God that is different than the one that's portrayed in the Scriptures. But they say, oh, I'm as religious as you are. You know, we make statues, we make deities, an image of gods. And typically, these gods and images that we see, and going back to the physical nature of things and these emblems and things we see in this life, people that create these images, they picture their gods to be like them. So in some form, I'm sure we could track back all the way, and we would attribute these images, would be attributed to the Creator that created them. The Buddhas of the world and things of that nature, any religious symbols you can think of or deity they put on high and build statues of in the modern day, even if you want to go back to the Greece and all the images they had back then, the gods they knew. But it's always attributed probably to the guy that chiseled that out of stone or had that vision to begin with. There's going to be some image. It didn't come from a biblical standard. It didn't come from God's word. It didn't come from anywhere else but man's mind. We make this up on our head. We come up with these things. We think, wow, I got a great idea. He looks like this. Well, your perception is not my perception. And since we don't have godly direction on that, man is putting his own twist to those things of making God like us. You know, do we really want a God like us? Let's think about it a minute. You know, we're full of jealousy, envyings, lying, cheating, stealing, all the sins of this world, it's common to us, right? It's going to be numbered amongst us. We're not without sin. We're not without weaknesses and flaws. Do I want a God that's going to treat me like me? Do I really want that? I may change my mind tomorrow. I may change it after lunch. I was hungry before lunch, now I'm not. Or something sounded good before lunch, now I'm full and lazy and want to take a nap. See how quick I changed my mind. We have an image. We try to take God like that. Do I want God to change? Do I want to stand before judgment and say, Lord, Lord, I've done all these wonderful things. He says, yeah, you did. Instead of like Matthew 7 when he says, oh, yeah, you did them, but don't you not? He says, yep, you did everything exactly like I asked you to. But I changed my mind. I forgot to tell y'all. Yeah, it was a bad day yesterday, and I just decided I'd change it. Sorry. Can you imagine standing there on the day of judgment going, wow. I don't want a God like that. I don't want a God like me. I want a God that the Bible tells us is a consistent, true God that gives us the example, the pattern, and the instructions to follow daily. This is the God we want to be with, a consistent God. You know, all of our hopes and imaginations and dreams and people can come up in these religious practices and deities and images and statues and whatever else you can put on it. It's man's thinking. It's man's devices. It's not no different than what Aaron did below the mount there when they forged the golden calf. They come up with a god of gold. They made it a calf. Boy, that was really real deep thinking there, wasn't it? Where did the calf come from? Who was the creator of that? So you see how crazy things can get with these deities. And even those that are that close to God, standing below the mount where Moses is up, meeting with the Lord. And yet down below, they're saying, we need a different God. We need a different one. We need somebody that looks different. I want something right here we can dance around and throw a party and build big fires and feasts and celebrations, and we can touch it. We still want that today, don't we? We can't see Christ. We don't have God physically here, so we want something physical. Man likes to do that. We like to put physical things out there. So we try to get this God that will fit us. Sorry, this thing is really slow to page down. Tell you how technologically advanced I am. I've got this on a thumb drive. I got it on the computer. I got it plugged into power, but I brought a paper backup. I don't trust them. I'm on the computers all day long, but I still worried about that. You know, people today, we try to even in church, we try, you know, we try to make a God in an image. Okay, I'll raise my hand. I'm not pointing fingers here. But think about this a minute. And one thing I like to do, and you can play along if you like at this point, is think about this, and you can close your eyes a minute and just think about it. And you stop and think, okay, I want a picture in my head, Dan, the God I pray to at night in private, the God when I open the Bible I imagine in my head, the God when it's talked to me about, I got this physical image. Then I open my eyes and I go, okay, what's that God look like? Now, I'm not going to ask you to tell me, but I can tell you, does he have a white flowing beard, white raiment, big gown, and all these? I got all these attributes about him, don't I? In my head, I can tell you I do. Is that really God? I don't know. I do not know. Is that wrong to have an image in my mind like that? I don't believe it's wrong. I believe it'd be wrong if we painted him up on the wall and said, this is God, this is Jesus. We don't know. But in my head, no, I think it's common nature. We're going to have some type of picture in our head. Just much like when we come to communion, we kind of try to picture what it was like at Calvary maybe in our head, being there. We weren't there. We can't do it, but we know what was written. But we got an image of God, and you picture that God. Some people may worship imagine an American God, a white God, an Indian God, Hindu. It doesn't matter. They may have all these different gods. Is that wrong? I can't say it is. I'll tell you this. He's probably a God to everybody, isn't he? The Bible tells us that. He could be any of those. But is my image better than yours? No. Is it wrong? No. That's in our heads. That's something we think about when we pray. It's just a nature of humankind to have our minds work like that, I think. At least maybe I'm speaking for y'all, but for me it does. My mind works like that. I got an image, a picture of God. Think about the picture you had of God when you pray at night. Is it different? If it is, that's great. If not, no big deal. It doesn't matter. But we all tend to do that, right? So see how easy it is to get an image of God in our head. And that's fine. As Christians, we control that. We understand it. But see how easy the world can grab that? Or even a weaker Christian could grab something, an image or a thought, and go with it and start believing something is true or absolute or complete when it's just a thought of man, an image of man, not a biblical basis. It can happen very quick. The Bible tells us in John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time, only the begotten Son, which was in the bosom of the Father. Only Christ knows what God the Father looks like face to face. It told us in Exodus chapter 33, Moses was stuck in the cleft of the rock, and he could only see what the hinder parts were of God. We don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. The Bible doesn't describe that. It says the hinder parts. We know this much, it wasn't his face, because in Exodus 33 it says, no man shall see my face and live. Not even Moses. So, do we know what God looks like? No, we don't know. Does Moses? No, we don't know. Don't know. So that's something we think about, and people have this image of God in their head. And that's real easy to get physical images. I understand that more so than some of the others, but we get that thought in our head of what a God looks like. And in some, you know, in our own mind, that's not a bad thing. When we go to worship it or honor it or claim it as absolute, then we got a problem, because the Bible doesn't give us that instruction or that detail, nor has any man given us that detail in the writings of the Bible that they've seen God and try to claim they know what he looks like. You know, the Bible tells, or we learn, not the Bible, we know this, we're very slack concerning things, aren't we? And I say, in the best case scenarios, if you look over our course of our lives, you know, we say things, we make promises, we do things, we all these things, and over time we may forget, we may get loose with it, and oh, well, that was 5 years ago, I'm not going to keep that promise, that was a long time ago, it was more convenient then, it's not convenient now, that was a promise 5 years ago, I'm not going to keep it. Another scary reason why I don't want a God like me. I may forget or say that was too long ago. That was a long promise. I don't have the capability. That's going to be too hard now. We do that sometimes. We forget. We fail. Our words given lightly sometimes. So we imagine a God that is like this too, don't we? I know the people I talked to about Romans 1, oh yeah, he don't mean that. He don't mean that, he loves everybody. Or, you know what, God don't expect me to live faithfully all my life. What if I live to be 90? That's a long time. He don't really mean that. No, he don't mean that, because you know, in my life, I wouldn't expect the same. My mindset would be, that's a long time, God, you're asking too much. 90 years for eternity, I don't know. But that's what man does. They say, well, God, I'm going to reason with you here, Lord. You got to understand something. That's not how I think. Me and you got to get on the same wavelength. It's kind of what man does, isn't it? It's kind of what the world does today. No, you got to bring it down a notch, Lord. You got to bring it down to our standard. That's a long time. We can't do that. That's too much. Our mind is maybe 5-10 years. I did good for you back then. Remember that a few years ago when I was going to church every day and I was studying and doing all this? I was on fire for you. But, you know, you can't expect me to keep doing that, can you? I know I quit, and I've not been to church since, and I don't read the Bible anymore, and I don't follow any of the commands, but I was good back then. I'm kind of retired now. I did it then. You know, I've heard that. I heard a preacher tell me, an old denominational preacher told me one time, I was going to talk Bible, and don't talk to me about Bible. Wow, you spent your lifetime as a preacher. He said, I'm retired. And when he said he was retired, he was retired. There was no more religion in his life. You know, and we think, well, I spent my time serving you, Lord. I'm retired now. You'll accept me. I don't think the Lord works that way. I know the Lord doesn't work that way. The Lord says, no, you continue steadfast. We continue to work and to grow. And this God that we put in our mind, the picture of him is one thing, but to put a God and change his mindset is another. God will not be tricked. He will not be bribed. He's not going to be deceived. You know, we think we can trick and fool God. I don't know who we think we are as men sometimes, as mankind. We really do. We think we're smarter than the Lord, or he don't know it. Watch this. I'm going to go behind the door and I'm going to do something. He, you know, nobody else saw it, so the Lord ain't going to know. Really? Really? Who created the elements that are around you to make that door? The Lord God breathed things into existence. I think he can know what you're doing behind closed doors. He knows what you're doing in private. He knows what we're doing in our heads and where we're going with things. You know, he's not lax. He doesn't say, well, I said this way back then. And that's been 1,000, 2,000 years ago. That's a long time. Yeah, I'm going to back off that rule. Times have changed. Yeah, Lord, now you're with us. We got it. You're just like us now. Now you're bringing it down a notch. That's what we feel. Times have changed. They've gotten more liberal. You got to change too, Lord. Isn't that what the world's telling us? The Christians of this world, the so-called Christians of this world, are saying the same thing. The world's liberal. It's changed. You got to move with it. We got to be more accepting. We got to bend God's laws because times have changed. Because the Lord will accept us. We've got this picture of God in our head. He's going to like this. He's going to like it. Well, we know that not to be the case. We know the Lord is not going to be quick to change. He's not going to sit there and say, well, you know what? You got a good point, Dan. You make a good statement. I like that. I think we're going to go with that thought. What do y'all think? Day of judgment, he's going to say, okay, yeah, that's a good opinion. Let's do that. Okay, from now on, everybody that comes up here is going to be judged by this standard. I don't think so. You know, one thing we do, we get lazy. We count on time. We count on a lot of different things. Second Peter chapter 3, it says like this. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 3 says, knowing this, that there shall first come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is this promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Isn't that kind of what we hear today? It's been a long time. I haven't seen a thing change. Where's the Lord? He ain't come back. Oh, my grandparents and great-grandparents have lived and died in the Lord. You know, we're going to count on tomorrow. We're going to count on retirement. We're going to count on this. We're going to count on something tomorrow or the next day or in the future. We count on time, don't we? And the Lord's going to give us that time because we've already planned it. You don't understand. I got that in my calendar. Don't be doing nothing. Don't you strike me down dead or nothing like that. I got things planned on my day planner. I got things on my calendar. I got things to do. I got a vacation planned. I got business meetings. I got this to do. And I've got other plans. Yeah, time's going to go on. We assume that, don't we? We try to say God's like us. He's going to give us that time. God says we know not the hour or the time, do we? when the Lord will come again. We don't know the breath that's in man. How many of those we have? The Lord does, Lord God. He knows. He knows when he'll send his son again. He knows what our breath and span of life will be on this earth. You know what? We think we're going to fool God and say, I've got all this time in the world. This is what I'm going to do, and I'm guaranteeing on it, and the Lord's going to give it to me. We're to be thankful for the things of today, are we not? Don't count on tomorrow. Don't bank on tomorrow. Today. Today is the day we're given. That's the only day. But we think the Lord's given us whatever we think is fair in our mind, don't we? Well, today's not fair enough in my mind. I've probably got another 40, 50 years. That seems fair. The Lord may say, you may not have another hour. That's his mind. What is our mind? Oh, it's easy to get our mind on that part of stuff and say, no, I'm healthy, I'm feeling good, I'm going to live. You know, we always think that, don't we? We never know. We try to make God think like us, but God has a time and a plan and a direction and a pattern of things that we're not going to change. It's his way, and we are to follow it. He tried to humor him. We try to trick him. You read on in verse 8 and 9 there. It says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Think about that. He is not slack like some men count slackness. Didn't we just talk about that? Sometimes, you know, we make those commitments I talked about 5 years ago. Well, that's a long time ago. You don't expect me to uphold that. The Lord makes a promise 2,000 years ago. He keeps it. He makes it 4,000 years ago. He keeps it. He says, I'm not going to be like men. When I commit to a promise or commit to something, I keep that. So be ready when that time comes, because you're not going to change me. You're not going to mold me to be like you, and I'm going to start going, okay, a lot of times past, you're right. I'm going to lessen the law, or I'm going to lighten the burden, or say, okay, it's okay, not Dan, you didn't assemble ever in your life. I changed my mind. That ain't going to happen. No, he says, I'm not going to be like men. I'm going to be God. I'm going to be God, and I'm going to keep to my commitments. I'm going to keep to them. You know, Israel was guilty of a lot of things. In Judah, they were talking about, you know, things that they would do and try to impress people, impress God. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11, it says, to what purpose is the multitude of your... To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifice unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beast, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of goats. God says he wasn't impressed. We could add to the communion. We could add to things, couldn't we? As men, scripturally, we cannot. Would the Lord be impressed? He wasn't impressed with the multitude of things they're going to give him. Are we going to trick God and say, well, because I'm going to give you a whole bunch of money in the treasury. I know I haven't lived right in my life, but I gave you a big chunk in the treasury last Sunday. I just bought my way out of that sin, didn't I? Is that what we're trying to do? Kind of like Judah was kind of impressing with all these sacrifices. He didn't need all them. If the Lord asks for one loaf, he expects one loaf. If he asks for one cup, he wants one cup. Two doesn't impress him. Three doesn't impress him. Four, five. He don't need more stuff. We think God wants more stuff like us, or he can be easily impressed. Well, if I give him more, he'll be impressed. God don't need more stuff that he's already created. The blood of bulls, lambs, and goats. He says, that's my creation. I don't delight in this. This is not like a joy to me to have you guys killing all these things. It was done for a purpose. But the abundance of it is not going to impress him. That's not what he required, not what he asked. But they try to think, well, we would like more. You know, we heard that, we've had that lesson here, more is better. We want more. That commercial is so true. We all want more, so we assume God is like us. He wants more. We made him in our image, so he's greedy and he wants more like us, doesn't he? We know the creation is always trying to trick the creator. And I haven't figured that one out yet. We live in a world today, moving on, we live in a world that has so much sin in it, and so much things that are going on that we feel very little shock at sin. And some kids go, what's sinful? What's bad? Our kids today probably hear things and see things that they don't even catch on to. I do. And it's like, really? And then you stop and listen, man, have you really heard what's going on in this world? Have you really heard what they're saying there? Have you heard the language or the tone or this or that that's going on in public? We're callous to it. We walk right by it every day. Oh, yeah, that's what they do. Yeah. It doesn't even affect us, do we? We don't even stop to think what God still feels about that sin. Does God walk by and say, yeah, 2013, going on 2014. Yeah, these people are pretty silly. Yeah, they're sinning. Yeah, I see it. God is angry with that stuff. God is angry. He isn't like us where we kind of grow callous to it or can ignore it and block it out of his mind. God hears, knows, and sees it all and has not changed. He's not going to be like us and say, well, we drew a deaf ear to it. Or we're around it so much we just don't recognize it. God recognizes it. God hears it and sees it. We're not going to fool God and say, well, I can live a certain way and it's going to be acceptable. You know, we really are, things just don't come shocking to us anymore. They really don't. And maybe I'm getting older, but I don't think it's all getting older. I think the last 5 years, the things that have gone on in this country, last six, maybe seven, eight, I don't know. But it's just in recent, less than 10 years, we've seen a dramatic change of things that are now flamboyant and we can't talk about it or say we don't like it as Christians. We've lost our liberties, folks. We're losing our liberties to speak freely about these things. Romans 1, can't speak freely about that. No, you'll be prosecuted. You'll be persecuted. You'll lose your job. Anything could happen to you. There was a baker in Denver, Colorado that refused about 2 years ago to bake a wedding cake for a gay couple. Absolutely refused. Said it was against his religious beliefs. Yesterday, Friday, I read in the paper, the judge demanded he make them a cake. Religious belief was not a leg to stand on. Can you believe that? Not only was he ridiculed, he was bombarded, he was protested, he was threatened because he refused to make it. His house was threatened, his business was threatened. He's been smeared all over the country of being an evil person because he didn't agree with gay marriage. In his own private little business, the judge said Friday, you will do this. You know, that would be a tough thing. I think I would be in jail for the opportunity to preach the Bible to the court. You go before the court and preach. God's not going to say, you know what, just let it go. Don't worry about it. You know, God does not accept these things. God is not going to look, take, and say, you know what, that's common to man now. I'll just, you know, that's natural. No, he's not. He's not going to do that. You know, Romans 6:23, moving on, says, for the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Think about that a minute. The wages of sin. What am I going to reap from all this sin in my life if I go out and live a life of sin? Bible says death. That doesn't mean, oh, it's going to strike me dead. And I'm not dead, so I can keep living. Because, see, that's not true. We're talking about the second death, folks. The spiritual death. I know you not. Ye that work in iniquity. The words of the Lord, Matthew 7, talks about that, doesn't he? He says, those are the words of those who lived in sin are going to hear. But it says, but the gift of God is eternal life. What's the gift of God? He gave us his word. He gave us his son. He was a living, breathing example. And he gave that to mankind saying, follow the pattern. And that gets you eternal life. Think about that a minute. But we thank God, no, we're gonna do something different, Lord. And you'll like it. You're going to like this. This is a good one. You're going to love it, Lord, because I thought this up all myself. Boy, that's going to be scary. Those folks in the last day are going to be standing there. And you got to wonder what they're going to be saying then. Acts 4:11 and 12 says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. There's going to be those who didn't believe in God. They're going to be saying, Lord, Lord. He's going to say, who? Who are you calling me? You denied me through your life. Now you call me Lord, Lord. Think about that. We can't make a God that's going to be like us and just say, okay, well, let's blow it off. That's no big deal. We have a hard time realizing just how bad sin is to God. Sometimes we get so callous to it, we don't realize what God thinks about it. You know, it took one sin in the Old Testament for God to come down and wipe people out. The camp of Ai, the children of Israel, told not to touch a certain precious metal and gold and keep for themselves, but to commit it to the Lord, to destroy the cities and not bring that stuff back into the camp. But there was a certain couple that brought some gold and silver in, didn't they? They hid it under their tent. The next town they go into, they were overrun and destroyed. And they cried to the Lord. They said, Lord, why did you leave us out there to slaughter us? He goes, huh? Because one of you took something I told you not to. One of you have sinned. They went and found them, didn't they? It didn't go so well for those individuals. God didn't leave them. They left God. See, we think we can take God anywhere. We think we can just pack God up like we do our phones, my whatever, iPads, pack it up and let's go. You're with me. I've heard people say, the Lord's with me and I know it. You hear them on TV all the time. Man, the Lord has been with me. And you don't know, you know, in all situations, we could go through all the details of where they've been and what they're doing and saying the Lord's with them. We think we can just drag the Lord on like a little kid. Come on, you're going to go with me because I said you are. I said that you're with me, so you're with me. You ever think about that? What a bold statement. That's a, to me, that's a very bold statement. We think we can lead the Lord. And that's funny because there's a song that says, "Let the Lord lead on." Y'all may know it. It's an older song. Some of you know it. Some of you may not have heard it. It's old. But let the Lord lead on. Think about that. We're telling the Lord, you're going to come with us. We're going to take this word. We're going to slice and dice it. And you're going to come with us. And you're going to be in our house of worship. And we're going to say, we're following you. And you're going to accept it. Oh, we're not going to keep the word. We're taking part of it. But you're coming with us. We're taking the part of your love is coming with us. But everything else we're going to throw out. Doesn't work that way, does it? The Lord doesn't go with us. The Lord does not go with us. 2 John chapter 6 says this, "And this is the love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." Now, what did that just say? I got to walk after something? How is that leading the Lord? Well, I don't think we're taking the Lord anywhere. I don't think we're leading the Lord nowhere down a path. I think the command is we should walk after him. He is our leader. You know, if this is such a lesson too to anybody that wants to be a leader of any level, you got to learn to serve. You got to learn to serve. We got to be servants to learn how to lead. Well, how can we lead folks to Christ if we haven't learned to serve Christ and follow after him? How can the world lead people to the true one, the true God, and to salvation if they haven't learned to follow Christ, to serve Christ, and that will bring others to Christ? That's how we lead. You know, we should walk in it. It says it is a command that if we love him, we're going to do this. It isn't a matter of taking Christ by the hand or saying or commanding or demanding that he's with us because we say so. No matter how many times we say it, doesn't make it true. Colossians 2:6 says, "As you have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye him." We are to be in him. We can't make God do what we want. We can't make a God into what we want. We can't twist the word into what we want. We can't make an image of God and command and say that's him because we said it. And that's something, no matter how powerful we are. I don't care if you're the big, powerful stadium arena preachers on Sunday morning and you get all the backing in the world and all the airways and a big chunk of people believe you, it doesn't make it right. It doesn't change God's will. God's will mean the same. The Lord's not led anywhere. And I think that's a big misconception I hear when I talk to folks today. Well, the Lord's with me. Why is he with you? Well, because. And they start using their human wisdom. They're not using biblical basis. Are you following Christ? Well, the Lord's with me because he loves me. Okay, are you following Christ? Well, the Lord loves me. He won't punish me. Really? We just covered those scriptures where the Lord says, you know, the wages of sin are death. He's led by no one. Let's make no bones about it. We can't create a God that's going to allow us to lead him. We can try. We can say it. But John chapter 12, verse 26. Very key verse. I think it really just writes it plain. It says, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." See, if we're not a servant, the Lord's not with us. The Lord's not with us. You know why? He says, because you won't be found with me. You hear that second part? If you're not serving, if you're not following me, you're not going to be found with me. And if you're not found with me, how's the Father going to honor you? But he says, if you do this, the Father will honor you because you'll be found in me. So it's not about my ideas, not about my opinions. We all got great ones. Lord don't care. He created our minds. Does he care about your opinion? He didn't ask. He didn't ask. Now, it sounds harsh and cold to some modern world. They don't like that idea because we like this free living. But they also want the benefit and the glory of God. You can't have both. The Lord says, serve him. I'm going to move on quickly. Let's wrap this up. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, a verse you all know familiar and very well probably. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart." It says, "Lean not unto thy own understanding." Excuse me, "and always acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." That sums up everything we talked about today. I think right there, that puts a stamp on. Can we make a God like us? Do we want a God like us? First of all, do I want a God like Dan Jones that thinks like me? And then tomorrow I go before him, and he says, "No, I changed my mind because I changed my mind on things," and he's going to be just like me. No, he says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And he shall what? Direct thy paths. Huh, so I'm not leading the Lord anywhere. I'm following a path that's already trod. Exactly. We're following a trodden path that Christ has laid for us. That's the example we've been given. And that's the pattern we've been in the command to do, is to follow after Christ. We can't make a God, no matter how well we try, in any other image than that which we've been given. And that is a loving, caring God that is a jealous God. He is a God that will repay vengeance for those who do evil against him. So how can we know a God like this? John 17:5 said, "This is my beloved son." It says in John 17:5, he says, "This is my beloved son whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." So how do I get behind that one true God and let him direct my paths? I got to hear the word. We've heard that word. Because he says, "I and my Father are one," in John 10:30. He says, they are one. We want to get into God? We want to be found favorable in God? Get in Christ. Follow. Let him lead. Let him direct our paths.